Okay, Kelly, are you ready for today's episode?
Yes, I am.
I woke up thinking 1992. Do you remember what we were doing back then?
Kind of. Ryan was 4. Kayla was 2. Mm-hmm. We moved back to New Jersey. We were there for maybe 6-7 months by then. Mm-hmm. We still had our Nissan Sentra that we bought back in 86. First car that we bought that had air conditioning in it. And back then, you remember, we had to pay extra for air conditioning. It wasn't standard.
I'm wondering if some of our listeners today knew they ever made cars without air conditioning.
Most people don't put their windows down anymore.
That's true. Now, do most cars today come with duct tape?
Probably not. I think that's extra.
But that was important to our Nissan.
It definitely was. It was silver, and the duct tape kept the car looking somewhat presentable.
Absolutely.
And the bungee cord even held the trunk down better than when it locked.
Those were the good days.
Yes, it was.
Starting out in sales.
Yes, it was.
Just getting started. And that was the car, I think, that today's guest rode with me on the first time that she came out to train me.
Oh, that's right. You started working for, I think it was called?
Coupon Clipper.
Yeah.
At that time, that's what it was still called.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited. As you know, I didn't sleep much last night. Betsy Delia was my first sales manager. Mm-hmm. She's going to join us on the podcast today. And the first day that she came out to ride with me, I backed into somebody in the parking lot. So it was a lot of fun. And that was before the duct tape, after the duct tape.
During the duct tape.
During the duct tape.
Do you think she's going to remember that car?
You know, I doubt she's going to.
But good.
I remember it vividly. So, Betsy, as Kelly and I were just talking, the year was 1992. It was the first time, Betsy, that you and I got to know each other. And what I remember back then, you were already a very central part of the startup Clipper Magazines based out of Lancaster, PA. I just knew I had to do my best to impress you and that you were going to share a lot of knowledge and really teach me direct mail. But can you give our listeners a little bit of background and how did you get there?
Well, Tom, you know, it's a lot of trial and error, you know, finding your way. And I think for anyone who is in sales now, either beginning or advanced, you didn't necessarily start on that path of sales. And I certainly didn't either, because I started in college just needing an extra job to make some money. And I started by working in a Hickory Farms, Ohio store, which some of you might know and some of you may not, but we were selling cheese. And, you know, cheese might not sound all that interesting, but I found out that you could get people to buy cheese just by the way that you would word certain questions. Let me give you an example, Tom. Instead of just asking, would you like to taste our beef stick or would you like to taste our cheese log, we would say, taste it. So instead of them having to give a yes or no answer, right there and then, they were just engaged and ready to just take a taste. So just little things like that got me engaged, and I became a manager selling cheese, hiring people, and seeing how we could increase our sales. And we took a store that was at the very bottom of the rung and brought it up to the top until I realized, Tom, it's difficult to make a lot of money in retail sales.
There's just not a lot of money in cheese, Betsy?
There's money, and there could be a lot of money, but there are also a lot of long, hard hours involved. So I said, you know what? Let's try this outside sales thing. And that was a whole nother animal, let's put it that way. And that's where I transitioned from, you know, hey, selling office furniture, which is a type of a sale where, you know, there's not a lot of repeat business, to radio, TV, and Yellow Pages. But in that, there's a lot of learning. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today. When you move from position to position as you find your way in sales, you know, what is going to resonate with you and what's going to make you a better salesperson?
So, Betsy, I love going through your history. Today, this is our Election Day episode. And I was really excited taping this today with you because of all the people I've worked with over the years, you are as active. You're there with so many causes and not just like so many of us that talk a good game. You know, I can talk a good game, but I spend far too much time on the sidelines. You are not a bystander. You're out there with what you believe in. I think you've actually spent some time incarcerated because of one of your causes, Betsy. I don't know, but tell us, you're still using sales out there every day. So do you have a brief story on that?
Well, I do. And of course, I've got to touch on what you just said, Tom, incarcerated. I mean, you know, I was a girl of the 60s, but I was never arrested. So it was kind of on my bucket list to get that accomplished, which I did about 2 years ago on one of my causes. But I'll just leave it alone at that. And
we'll cover that in a future episode, Betsy.
We'll it'll keep on coming back for more. Yeah. So anyway, Tom, you know, right now with elections, I mean, for me, it's a very tense time. And I think it's a really tense time for a lot of people. And so part of what I felt I needed to do is, I mean, I am always busy. There's no doubt. I'm always busy and working. But, you know, I thought, let me be an enumerator for the census. And I'm also surprised to know that, Tom, a lot of people don't really know what an enumerator does. But what an enumerator does is they are the people who go out and go to the places where people didn't send in their census. Okay, so those people who, let's say, you know, the minorities that are out there, the immigrants, those people who maybe don't speak English, who are afraid, they're the ones. So what I did was I went out into those areas to try to see if I could get those people counted, because it's really important, Tom, that everyone today is counted and their voice makes a difference. But let me tell you, if that is not a sales job, I don't know what is, because you've got to get them to open that door. We were getting the information right then and there on an iPhone and taking the census. So it's when they peek out the window, it starts right there. How do I get them to open that door? So what type of look do I have, especially being, you know, a white woman in some of these neighborhoods? So, you know, I think that sales comes into everyday life. And, you know, you get that high when I get them to open the door. And then, dear God, if I can get them to answer all those questions and be happy about it and smiling and then refer me to a neighbor. You know, I had a guy that got the whole neighborhood involved and said, you got to get counted. You need to talk to this lady. And so here's what sales is about. It's engagement and it's excitement and it's helping people.
I'm picturing that person looking through the window. They're moving the curtain. And it's reminding me of those business owners that when we would come near the front door, they would scatter into the back office, right? And you had to get them out. The good news for you is you did this census work in probably the easiest year ever to do it, 2020, right? No, nobody has a problem coming to the door now.
Right, exactly. Got my mask on, you know, my hand sanitizer.
My name's Alex from Chicago. Okay, Boomer, teach me something about sales.
Okay, so we're back with Betsy. And Betsy, I'm really looking forward to today's topic because as you remember, when I first got started, this was a lesson, boy, did I need to learn. And, you know, we spent a ride day. You came out and spent a whole day with me. And one of the first things you did after a call we were on is you sat me down outside of a patio furniture place. I can still picture it. You sat me down and said, Tom, you got to slow down. You're talking way too fast. You didn't listen to a thing that they said. And I still had nightmares. There were certain patio furniture I can't sit in to this day. But when you told me you really want to talk about listening, I knew that was important to you. And it's something that you started teaching me many years ago. So how do you want to get started? Let's share your message with our listeners today.
What I want to share about listening is that probably made the biggest difference for me when I started sales. You know, I started those outside sales like we talked about earlier, and I didn't have a whole lot of experience. So I, for one, would listen in my car to a sales tape or something that would teach me how to be a better salesperson. And what I found was that I was, as you were in the beginning, talking way too much and not doing enough listening. So over time, I've kind of felt that if you as a salesperson are doing more talking than your client is or your customer, you're doing too much talking. So that boils down to listening. What I want to point out about listening, I kind of liken it a little bit to sitting back in the pocket. Okay, so we're in football season right now. And a lot of you can relate to sort of, you know, sort of the football terminology of being in the pocket. Well, what that kind of refers to is if you're a quarterback, you are looking, you're observing, you're watching, you're seeing what is out there. Where is the opening that you can find? And so it's the same thing in sales. You want to engage them and look for that opening. But let's not remember that another word for the pocket is also the tackle box. And if you rest too long in that pocket, you're going to get taken down. Right. Okay. So my message here is listen, but stay engaged and be observant of what's happening.
Very good. And I guess some of those business owners, they love to blitz you, right? So some of them, they're coming gunning for you. You better be ready.
Right. So you got to be careful that you don't get off topic. You know, you want to be able to lead them back to where you want them to be.
All right, Betsy. So I'm going to stay on topic. Our listeners are resting in the pocket. They're looking for that opening. What do you want them to do?
Okay, so what I would like you to do and to practice now is to ask questions. Okay, so ask questions, but then the key is going to be let them answer the question. Don't answer for them and listen to what their answer is, because that quite often is going to tell you how to sell them. You know, you want to be looking for something that you can engage them with. Is it something in their business, something, a need that they might have? Another thing we tend to do quite often is when they fire an objection at us, we are ready, we're ready. We're like, you know, we're like that loaded gun. We're like ready to go. We've got all the answers because we've practiced this. But you might want to hold back a little bit. And instead of answering that objection right away, you might want to acknowledge the objection that they have. You know, I can appreciate that money's tight right now. This is like a big one that we get, you know. But I also know that you need whatever you're selling, advertising, whatever it might be. And what are you doing currently? How are you spending money? So you're kind of appreciating the situation that they're in, but coming back with another question. Because many times these are false objections they bring up, or it's something to throw you off track. And we don't want to get into that, you know, firing back and forth. They ask, they give you an objection, you answer. Then they give you another one and you fire back again.
That's just, that's like an argument, right? We're not going to win there, are we?
We're never going to win. We're not going to win. We're only going to win by bringing them over to our side, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love the way you talk about that because, you know, so often it's when you delve just a little deeper, you know, they give you that objection. And like you said, we're primed to answer it. But if we follow it up and we dig a little bit deeper, that could change our answer and make it so much more effective. So I really like the way you talk about that.
Right. Absolutely. That's where you find that opening. That's where we talk about peeling that onion, finding out a little bit more about that business, because they in the will probably tell you how to sell them in the end, what they need. And then there's where your opening really comes in.
And I think that's where I struggled in the beginning, as especially being brand new into sales and so many others, because what are we doing? When we typically start, we get all these features and benefits, right? The company tells, hey, here's all the great things about us. So when that objection comes up or the question comes up, we go to what we've learned and what we know. We don't know all those little subtleties yet. So, you know, how does someone get that? Is there a way that they can kind of just be ready and understanding those subtleties?
I think so often, again, with the listening and sitting back, it gives you a chance to regroup yourself also, instead of firing back right away. It gives you the opportunity to really, you know, observe and collect and find out a little bit more about their business before delving right in with the answer to that objection. So I think they need to also know that you care truly about what their business is. And you don't necessarily have to you know, I know a lot of times we're worried. We gotta sell them today, because if we don't, this is our big opportunity. And that's where your preparation comes in. I mean, I'm always one to be prepared, because you never know what's going to happen. But also, you know, having that opportunity to build a rapport and be able to come back to them with a great presentation is also part and parcel too.
Very true.
So Betsy, I got to tell you, what I've learned over the years when it comes to listening, as you're talking about, is that's really the only way that the customer is going to let us understand what they need, you know, what they truly need, and what is the solution they're looking for. Do you have any particular questions or ways that you would go about that?
Well, I do, Tom, because, you know, many times when you're going in, and I can remember one in particular situation. I was actually going in to collect some money from a customer who had been in someone else's. And, you know, and one of the reasons he said he hadn't paid his bill was because he said it didn't work. Okay, what he had, it wasn't working for him. And so I said, you know what? And this became one of my questions that I felt was really key. I said, how about if you pretend, Mr. Customer, that I am your customer? Sell me. Why should I buy your product? And I want to understand why people would want to buy from you. And so, in other words, I'm kind of turning the tables to find out, how does he see himself? How does he view his business? Because let's face it, business owners love to talk about themselves. They like to talk about themselves. They like to talk about their business. And quite honestly, Tom, if they don't like to, then there's probably something wrong with that business. If they don't get excited about their own business and their own company,
they better be excited about that.
Right. So that's key. That is key to finding out how they view themselves. Because sometimes the way someone views their own business isn't really the way other people see it. And you, as being the bystander now, and it, you're resting, again, you're resting, you're listening, because he's just selling you and telling you about his business. You're able to kind of look through, sort through that information and come back to him with a solution.
Yep, absolutely. Because that, and I don't know whether it's endorphins or what it is, Betsy, but what we found over the years is when we get them talking, and especially, I like the way you said, tell me about your business. How would you sell to your customers? You get them excited. Now something goes on in their mind and they're into it. You know, they're not looking at you as somebody trying to sell me. They're into it. They're passionate. And boy, that excitement usually spurs along. And I love when they then look at you and they ask you a question that, you know, is a buying type question, and it works out. You know, I was just reading something the other day. I loved it. And I didn't know you were going to hit on it, but you just did in a great way. It said, sellers have to stop trying to sell their stuff and help the business owner they're with sell their stuff. And when you get to that point, as you just mentioned, it really changed the whole conversation.
You're right, Tom. It transitions the call, the sales call, into their becoming excited. And if you also get that enthusiasm that they have and come up with, you know, an idea or a topic just based on what they've told you, it can make all the difference in making that sale. And that's what allows you to maybe set up a follow-up appointment. You know, it may not be a close that moment, but you know what, you're saying, you know what, you're giving me ideas here. This is great. I now understand your business. Let me put together something for you that encapsulates what you're trying to accomplish. And they become excited because you're kind of putting that carrot out there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to know when to close, but we also need to know when it's important to come back with some real meat for this particular customer.
Because, I mean, they're speaking to us because they want a solution, right? And in most cases, they're looking for someone to help them, and you're directing it so that they see you care. You're asking the right questions and getting them as part of that solution. So it's so critical for people to realize that. Yeah. All right. So, Betsy, this is the time where we kind of bring it in for our listeners, having some good conversation on probing and listening. Give me a couple takeaways. If you're a listener right now and you're going to an appointment, what are two or three things that they need to put in place this afternoon on their next call?
Okay, well, first, Tom, I'm going to go back to that resting in the pocket thing. I want you to remember to just drop back, okay, and take a moment to listen. And if you're not a football person, think about a little bit of mindfulness. If you're a mindfulness practicer, it's the same idea. You're kind of dropping back. You're sitting back, and you're becoming aware of what's happening. So I'm going to say that's number one. Not to rush in there, Tom, but to kind of sit back in that pocket. The next thing you want to think about too is you're doing that as you are building rapport. It's important to build a little rapport with this customer. You know, look at something in his office or her office that really says something personal about that person that you might want to make a quick comment on, and then listen to that.
I got to tell you, Betsy, I was thinking about that when you were sharing the story about the census earlier, because, you know, some salespeople, they go in and they're just trying to overcome those objections and make a sale. But what you were talking about was you built enough rapport with that one person to fill out the census that they're now referring you to other people that they want to get their vote counted and be part of that. So, you know, building rapport is, I think, what makes that long-term success for a seller.
I agree. And it's going to hopefully get you referrals in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then next on that is being aware to ask questions and then listen for the answer instead of thinking ahead on what your next answer is going to be or your next question. So we tend to like think ahead and not really pay attention to what that person's saying. So again, I want you to really look for that crack when you're out there and be aware of that.
Yep. And I think that, and I don't know if I want to blame social media. We can do that. Could be a whole other episode for us, maybe over the winter when we have a lot of time, Betsy. But it seems nowadays no one wants to listen. They're set and they just want to come back with their reply. And what you're showing is something that you've known has always worked, you know, right back to probably the Hickory Farm days. Ask a question and then patiently listen, rest in that pocket, hear what they say before you move on.
Right. And again, Tom, it is the balance because, you know, you do have to be quick enough not to lose their interest also. So, you know, it's always that little bit of balance that you have going on there between, you know, taking too much time or letting them ramble too long because you don't want to lose them either. So you got to bring it back too. But I do notice today in the world, like you're mentioning, I'm going to give you real quickly my daughter for an example, who is a CPA. Okay, so a lot of her meetings are now either on Zoom or she talks to clients. And what she finds that they used to be really quick and want to get finished. And now it's because they're working from home, they're isolated, that they're actually happy to talk. And she's got to bring them back because they want to go off topic sometimes. So, you know, although we're working in this crazy world, I think people sometimes are a little bit starved to talk to someone outside.
Absolutely. I remember back in April when this pandemic was just starting, so many sellers were afraid to reach out. They're like, you know, people don't want to talk to me right now. And as we've gone through it, I think they went through a phase, but like you said, they want to talk. You know, people are thirsty for that. They need it. And then if you build that rapport, you're going to be in a good place.
Absolutely.
Okay. Betsy, thank you very much for that. All right. So Betsy, this is our current events segment, right? Normally it's a debate topic, but with it being election day, with everything going on, this is going to be kind of current events. We all know what we're going through, the pandemic that we've been experiencing in 2020. And it got me thinking as I was preparing today, you and I have been through a lot over the years. You know, I remember we were selling a direct mail magazine into people's homes when the anthrax thing hit. And we're in meetings wondering, is the post office never going to deliver our magazine anymore? Are homeowners not going to want to read all these ads that we're sending out? We went through the 2008-2009 recession. Prior to that, 9/11. We heard for how long that print is dying, right? We're selling print as our feature, and we're, everybody's telling us print is dying. Today, I get the impression that so many sellers and even sales leaders, they just want to survive. They just want to have their job. They just want to do whatever they have to do to survive. Is that what the best practice is today?
Well, that's not the best practice, Tom. You know, I've always said that in any of these situations, there are going to be winners and losers. And as much as I hate that term, and I always hate the term winners and losers, but I think in this case, it's fitting, because there are people who are going to survive this and come out ahead. And then there's other people who are going to, you know, unfortunately, they're going to go out of business and it's not going to work out for them. And our job, whatever you are selling or using, is to make that person one of the winners. And, you know, over time, Tom, I'm sure you felt the same way. You could go into a business quite often and find, and you'd already know whether this person was going to be a survivor or not. Okay.
Yep.
So then our job becomes, when we see the people who are going to survive, those are the people that we're going to put our time into. You know, it's sort of like the people that, you know, they're never, because they're living in the past. They're never going to survive this. You kind of let them go and put your emphasis onto that person who's going to be a survivor. And they're going to survive because of using creativity. You know, you can't survive in business today without staying on top, being creative in what you're doing. Thinking ahead, not waiting and being reactionary, waiting for it to happen. But when you see the trends that are happening, you know, we're not losing COVID. It's not ending tomorrow. Okay. It's going to be with us for a while. So let's plan ahead accordingly, how we can transition our business to be the survivor. Yeah. And with that, have a positive attitude.
Absolutely. And we see so many examples. You know, maybe not in April, but I'll tell you, over the summer, we've seen so many examples of that creativity. I thought the most amazing billboard for what's going on. It was a picture of a school-age girl with a mask on, and the headline is, "There's never been a better time for braces." Right? So, I mean, that's turning a negative into a positive, and just that's the creativity I think you're talking about.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, let's get some really, you know, creative masks too. You know, I went to a restaurant too, and the hostess there, I mean, her mask was, you know, being the, you know, the woman that I am here, her mask was matching her outfit. And I'm like, okay, you know, here she's taking it. Just make it into a fashion statement. But, you know, attitude is altitude. It's an old saying that we've had, but it's so true. And so I think that people's attitude also through this, if you can remain positive and look to engage your customers that you have, that's going to be everything. And, you know, this isn't a sprint. This is endurance. Okay. So how can we endure this and come out ahead? And I don't know, you know, I always had this little saying that I like about the essence of survival. And I think it's really good. Every morning in Africa. Is it okay?
Yeah, sure.
Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it will be killed. Every morning, a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be running. And, you know, whether we're in COVID or we're not, you have to stay on your game. And this, as a salesperson, this is your job. This is your job, is to help them, give them the tools that they need to stay on their game.
Absolutely. Now, Betsy, I'm picturing your office many years ago. Was that not artwork that you had hanging over your desk?
Yes, it was.
Absolutely. So you've been living that quote forever, right? That's what we got to do.
I think we do, you know, and, you know, as much as I, you know, a part of my philosophy is really engagement, and that, you know, in today's world, we're all created, you know, equal here, and we really have to work together. We also have to stay on our game, Tom, and try to be the best that we can be by either, you know, reading and helping and engaging. And if you're in sales, you have to believe, number one, in what you're selling and know that you can benefit your client. And if that's the case, you're going to go real far.
Yeah. And if you don't believe that, you should be doing something else, right? Because it's, you have to have that. And you know what, if I'm a business owner or a decision maker that needs to make a decision to buy a product or service, I want to be talking to that person that wakes up and they're on the sprint. They're there for me. They've got the creativity. They come in excited. The person without that, they're not going to help me today. You know, I need to move on.
That's right. And there it goes back to, you know, if you do see someone in person, dress for success.
Absolutely.
People want to work with someone who's successful.
Yep. And whatever format, whatever way it is, you have to, right? You have to care about that.
And if you're seeing them on Zoom, then at least make sure the top half looks good.
Very good. We won't even go into some of the Zoom videos I've been on of it. I mean, yeah, I've been on networking Zoom calls, and, you know, I tell you, 3 out of 10 people understand the concept you just put, and they're looking to connect and looking to sell their products and make connections. And you've got some that you just, why am I going to connect? You know, it's just they get that few minutes of attention and they just don't put it into motion. Yeah. All right. Hey, Betsy, I really want to thank you for spending the time with us today. This has been great. Before you go, I do have one or two surprises for you and a couple questions that were sent in. You got 2 more minutes?
I have 2 more minutes.
Excellent.
Hey, this is Ryan from Cary, North Carolina. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
So, Betsy, our first question that was sent in for you today, in listening, you obviously have a lot of confidence. Did you always have it, or do you have it? If someone is there right now and they just don't quite have that strong confidence, any way that you can help them, any takeaway for them to build that confidence?
Absolutely, because you're right, Tom. I never dreamed that sales was going to be my career. But once I got the taste of it and knew I liked it, I knew I had to develop the skills. So I think confidence comes by, one, knowing your product, and then also by studying. And just like you're doing now, you are listening to a podcast about sales. So the more that you can, you know, read a book, listen to a podcast, you know, research this, and then put those things into practice, is going to build your confidence. Because as you do this, you're going to find you get success. And when you get success, that is going to breed confidence. Whatever it is, I mean, I used to listen to tapes in the car before I would go in on a sales call and then try and practice those things. The other thing, I love music. So you put on a good tune. I'm a Philly girl. I listen to Rocky and I'm going up those stairs, man, and I can do anything. So I get myself, you know, jazzed up with a good tune before I go in, and man, nothing can take me down. So, you know, whatever it is on a personal level, that's what you have to do.
So, Betsy, I have to ask, when I was younger, I never bought into the whole bucket list concept, right? It just never, you know, I want to live life now. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm starting to reevaluate and build a little bit of a bucket list. I can't imagine, with all the things you've done and the stories you've shared, all the places in the world you've been and what you've done in different parts of the world, your bucket list has got to be full, right? Is there anything left?
Well, you're right, Tom. And I've been very fortunate. I've had an opportunity to do a lot of things in a lot of countries, climb some mountains with my son and different things. But I would love to travel the entire U.S., and I'd like to do it fossil free. So I'm waiting for my Tesla Cybertruck so I can outfit it and travel the entire country without using one drop of gasoline or putting any emissions in the atmosphere to do this.
Wow.
That's the thing that's right now on my bucket list.
Absolutely. I love it. And I hope whenever you're coming through Carolina, you pause in and we'll hit the Appalachian Trail for a day or two.
Absolutely. That's part of it, to stop by and see all the wonderful people I've met throughout the country in my life.
Absolutely. I love it. I have no doubt, knowing you, that you are going to accomplish that. So
I will. And you can test drive anytime, because I would like to sell everyone on buying an electric car, whatever the model might be.
All right. So I'm sure you're going to say to us, you're not going to ask us, would you like to try this? You're going to say, Tom, drive this, right?
I will, Tom.
All right, Betsy, thanks again. Really appreciate you spending time with us. And I know the listeners are going to enjoy. And I don't care how long the election line is today, right? Anybody listening, if you haven't voted yet, get out there and vote and re-listen to this podcast while you're waiting in line. It'll be perfect.
Right. I'll be counting those votes too tomorrow, Tom.
Will you really?
Excellent. Oh, yes. Yes. All those mail-in ballots, they start opening tomorrow.
Oh, and that's in Pennsylvania, right? See, in Carolina here, they're going to start that ahead of time. So
we have to be there 6:15.
All right, Betsy, have a great day and thanks again.
Okay, you too, Tom.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn @Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.